One. Hey, what's up, everybody? Christian Brindle. Welcome back to another episode of the Seven Figures or Bust podcast, the number one podcast in the world for growing your insurance business to seven figures or above. I am joined with a fantastic guest, somebody who is a partner with us, somebody who is a friend of the channel, been on many, many times on the YouTube channel, but first time on the Seven Figures or Bust podcast. I have the one and only Patricia St. Louis. Patricia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Christian?
I am doing great as well. Sun shining. It's Saturday. All is well. All is well. I'm super excited for this conversation. Every time we talk and kind of do a long conversation like this, there's always some great insight that comes out of it. And I think there's always something that the audience can take from it and really, you know, transcribe into some real value. Let's kind of go back to the beginning, just on the off chance that nobody knows Patricia. You know, maybe people haven't seen your YouTube channel. By the way, Patricia has a fantastic YouTube channel. If you're not following it, tell me if I get their name right. It's under the name Kinky Styles 1980.
Yeah. It's got
a huge subscriber base. How many subscribers now? 60, 70,000?
61,000
subscribers. Does great videos kind of documenting the journey and the growth of her agency. So go follow her on there. I'm actually going to leave a link in the description while I'm thinking about it. I'll mention that for you guys. But anyway, let's go back to the introduction of you being in the space, because I think this is year four, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes. Heading to year four. We're in year three right now.
Okay. Gotcha. So what was it that got you into insurance in the first place? Where did it all start for you?
Pandemic.
Okay.
So I was working as a registered nurse and pandemic happened and I was scared to go back to work.
Yeah.
So I started researching things you could do at home. Well, actually, my cousin had called me and said, hey, jump on this Zoom call about selling health insurance. So I said, okay. So I go on, and it was Prime America.
Yes.
I got sucked in.
It's remarkable how many people have their introduction to this space from Prime America. It's crazy to me. Like, it's an absolute absurd number of people. Like, if I just, like, listed off the people that I know of, that, like, that was their introduction, you'd be like, whoa. You know, like, for me, every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm like another one, you know? My father started in the insurance space in Primerica before it was called Primerica. It's called A.O. Williams back then.
Oh, okay.
In the 80s. It's just crazy. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
No, it's okay. Yeah. So I got sucked in, paid my little $75 fee. And then it was so structured where you had to go to these meetings, these Zoom meetings, be there freaking all day and all morning or whatever. And it was so based on, you got to call your family or friends. You got to, people I don't even talk to on a regular basis. I'm very much of a homebody, stay to myself type of person. So for me to have to call people and be like, hey, what you doing? How you been? Do you have life insurance? It was annoying. So I quickly got to the, what is it called? No friends left list.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's usually how those go, right? Like they say, make your list and then call through your list, right? That's what they say. And it's like, you know, network to your network. Well, what do you do when you run out of network? You know what I mean? Most normal people don't have like this inner circle of like 5,000 people. You know, they have like an inner circle of people that they actually personally know. I think the average person is like 100, 200 people, maybe not even that for a lot of people, you know?
And it was so annoying because some people will agree. They'd be like, you know what? I do need life insurance. Yeah, let's jump on this call. So I would make the appointment, jump on the call with my, what they call them at the time, my regional executive, whatever they all the positions they had. So it would be me, my lead. That's what I call it. I was being you lead. So anyway, that's why I'm so passionate about being careful with companies you're partnered with, but you're actually their lead source. That's right. Why I'm so passionate. This experience right here. So anyways, I'm feeding her these leads, right? Number one, the first three sales, you get zero. You get nothing. You get zero. Your comp level is 25%.
Wow.
If you ever make it to that comp level, by the way, you ever get that far. So anyways, what irritated me is that I had family members and friends that did want life insurance. So I would get them on this Zoom call and my trainer, my regional person, whatever. So she would talk to them about life insurance and investing, you know, their thing is buy term and invest the rest, right? Right. But then she would recruit them. Same call. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to recruit this person? So yeah. So people would get turned off. Then we get so upset. Like, why did you have me on this call? I just wanted health, life insurance. And I have a job. Like, I don't need to be recruited. So I would get an argument after the call. Because I'm like, why are you trying to recruit them? I told you this person is a registered nurse. Like, because I'm a nurse, right?
Right.
Professional individuals, nurses. Like, why are you trying to recruit them to sell freaking life insurance when they actually wanted to buy the product?
So what was the person's response when you confront them about that? You're like, why are you trying to do this? Like, that's not what I thought this call was about. What's their response?
It was more like, we're trying to help you build your team and that type of thing. It was such a cult. And you're like,
I just started. We're building teams now. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. I remember one time she was like, you're going to have such a strong team because so many people that want to join are men. I'm just like, oh my
God. You're like, what? It's so funny to me, right? Like there's Primerica is the granddaddy of the MLM insurance business models, right? Like they're the first ones, as far as I know, that did insurance and that MLM style kind of agency. But now there's a lot of them, you know, there's a lot of these MLM type style agencies. And to me, like it's so wild, you know, in terms of just they all kind of teach the same thing. You know, they teach number one, recruiting's better than selling, which I couldn't agree less with. Number two, they, you know, when you are selling, you're networking to your network, network to your network. And I'm like, you know, I don't know how you feel, Patricia, but for me, I would rather sell insurance to somebody that I don't know personally. Like, that's been my experience as an agent over the years is like, it's always like, it always like complicates the personal relationship when you sell something to somebody you know, it's like a little uncomfortable, a little awkward, you know, like you get together at family get togethers and they're like, their plan isn't working maybe right. And they're like, angry, but they're afraid to tell you they're angry. You know, like I would so much rather sell insurance to someone I don't know and through marketing or lead generation or something like that than a family member. I mean, I don't know if you feel that way as well.
Yeah. And they avoid your calls because you're calling them because you want something, not because you're literally calling to see how they're doing, you know?
Yeah. It wrecks the relationships, you know, with people that you know and you care about. And it's such a weird business model to me. Like, you know, I my early years before I did insurance when I was like early 20s, 18, 19, I did a couple MLMs myself. And I'm like, looking back on it, I'm like, this is strange. This is so weird. Like the one that we were in, or the one that I got in the most serious before I did insurance, we were selling healthy energy drinks. And it was like a $500 buy-in. So like the minimum buy-in was $500 and you get like $500 worth of product, you know, like this healthy energy drink product. And the company ended up getting shut down for being a pyramid scheme like 2 years after I got out. Like it was like in court and like, you know, dragged through the mud and everything like that. But anyway, they wanted us to market to people we knew. Well, when you're 19, you know other 19-year-olds.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and so when you're 19 and you know other 19-year-olds, what do 19-year-olds not have? Usually $500 to blow. You know what I mean? So like it was insane, you know, like and yeah, it this is when you mix insurance and that business model, that MLM business model, it's really weird. But they do introduce a lot of people amazingly to the space. There's so many people I know that's where they started. Ultimately, it's not where they found success, but that was the introduction to the industry.
Yeah, definitely. I remember someone was trying to recruit me before nursing school when I was about 19 in Prime America.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I remember saying, I don't want to do that. I want to be a nurse. They're like, you want to be a nurse? Like, kind of like telling me I was a loser pretty much. Like, you're not going to be successful, you know?
You're like, a nurse? Yeah. Are you kidding me? And Grant, and like probably at the time you're making more than they are, like, because a lot of these people that are recruiting you in Primerica and a lot of these MLMs, like, they're most of the time they're lower on the totem pole. Like, they're trying to climb the totem pole and their compensation structure requires them to recruit to do that. So like, that's what I learned early on too, is like, some of these people in this MLM, like, that are recruiting you, like, they're doing worse than you are.
Yes. And it's such a cult. The minute you're like, I don't want to do this anymore, they like, you're like scum to them. Like, yeah. It's such a fake relationship. You know, they call you ongoing. You're talking to them every day. They're your best friend. The minute you're like, I don't want to do this, it's like, oh, you suck. You know? So, yeah.
Yeah. It's insurance Scientology. But anyway.
That was okay. My introduction.
So Primerica, you go through that experience. Do you immediately get into a different situation with insurance after that, or is there some time that passes? Like, what does that next step look like?
So at that point, when I was like, don't want to do this, I got over my fear and went back to nursing, doing travel nursing, but I was still intrigued. I'm like, there's something still good about this insurance thing, but Prime America is obviously not it, but there's something in this. So I started doing more research, going on YouTube, and I got into life insurance, did pretty well until I got a lot of chargebacks.
Yes.
I made what, $20,000, and then this chargeback starting, right? So I'm just like, this is not good. This doesn't feel good. This sucks. Yeah. But I was a registered nurse, so I charged backs with nothing. But I didn't want to write all this business, chargebacks, all this business, chargebacks. So it made any sense.
Yeah.
When I figured through my research that you could sell Medicare, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And my specialty was already in Medicare as a nurse. So it kind of went hand in hand.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I remember when we first met, you know, my first thought is I was like, it's a match made in heaven, you know, like Medicare and you being an RN, you know, I'm like, it's a perfect match. So how long are you doing life after Primerica before you discover Medicare? Is it a matter of months? What does that timeline look like?
I would say months.
Okay.
Life insurance for, I would say, a few months. And when I seen the chargeback, it just wasn't worth it to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like I was a good salesperson because for some reason they didn't want to say no, but they couldn't afford it. You know? So it was just like, this is not gonna work.
Right. So they pay maybe 1 month of premium and then it bounces after that, you know. And life insurance is tough. I mean, there's a lot of money that can be made in life insurance, as you know, but it is much more difficult than Medicare. From a attrition standpoint, you know, from a retention standpoint, and there's a lot more chargebacks, and yeah, that's always definitely a big part of that game. This video is sponsored by none other than Lead Heroes, you guys. Lead Heroes is going to be your one-stop shop when it comes to your Medicare and final expense needs. People ask me all the time, Christian, what type of lead is going to be the best quality for me to work? And I don't really quite know if the answer is going to be a digital marketing lead, a direct mail lead, or a telemarketed lead, but I can say that a telemarketed lead is going to be up there with the best of them in terms of quality. A telemarketed lead has unique quality to it because there's a live person that actually speaks to the prospective customer and gets their verbal consent that they're interested and willing to speak with a licensed agent just like you. Whether it be a pre-scheduled Medicare appointment with a scope of appointment captured and then scheduled on your calendar 48 hours out, or whether it be a custom calling campaign where you call the shots, where your scripts are used, where it's the areas of your choosing, when it's the times of the day that you're choosing. Custom calling is where you pay by the hour, and essentially it's a custom campaign built to your liking. Lead Heroes has got you covered for all of these unique type of marketing needs for agents. There's a link down in the description of this video about Lead Heroes. You can learn more about these incredibly unique lead generation services, and I think you'll want to check it out today so you can continue to grow and explode your business. Walk me through just a little bit about Medicare, that next chapter. How does Medicare start? How do you get started in it? What does that all look like?
Okay. So I found you. So I was actually on a forum for life insurance, and I typed in, do anybody sell Medicare? And everybody was like, no, we don't sell Medicare. Life insurance is...
with no money in Medicare.
Yeah, exactly. There's no money in Medicare. No. But someone sent me a DM. They was like, look up this guy, call him Christian Brendel, and reach out to him. What was her name? No, we got it.
I don't want to say it on the recording, but...
Yes,
I'll tell you after the recording.
Yeah, but... so she's the one that said, hey, reach out to Christian. So I reached out to you, started my contracting. I was doing nursing and selling Medicare part-time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we started Medicare.
and you know, one thing I noticed about you from the get-go is like you were a really hard worker. And I always really liked that about you, because there's a lot of agents that we see, as you can imagine, right? Like, we see a lot of agents come in and out and in and out, and, you know, a lot of them can't be bothered. You know, they're like, well, I have time Thursday at 6 p.m. for 2 hours a week, and that's pretty much what I got. I'm like, wait, so I'm like, how is that going to work? You know, I'm like, what? You know, like, they're like, well, actually, this Thursday, now that I think about it, I have my kid's swimming lesson, and so we're gonna have to miss this Thursday. I'm like, what is this? You know, like, I'm like, it sounds to me like you're too busy to do this. But yeah, I mean, you know, you were a hard worker, and also you were very innovative and in wanting to experiment with new ways of trying to grow your business and try new things. And I've always felt like that is the real key to succeeding, I think, in the insurance business, is finding what works for you, but also like trying and experimenting with new ways of growth and new ways of kind of getting yourself out there, and just that creativity behind promoting your business and marketing your business and getting in front of clients. I think that's such a tremendous key. And so many agents, they're like, we can give them a template and sometimes it works, but other times it's like, well, you know, we work with 500 agents now, and the ones that are doing really well, I can honestly say that none of them are doing the exact same things. Like, it's all very different in terms of how they're growing their business. But yeah, so we start working together. Then what does the next couple of years look like from the standpoint of, you know, obviously I don't want to jump ahead in the story, but, you know, I remember pretty early on in that time frame, you pay your house off, you pay your mortgage off.
Yep.
Which, you know, is congratulations to you, by the way. That's a tremendous. How many years did it take? Very few, from what I remember.
It was 3 years.
3 years. What was the ultimate strategy for you to do that? Was it figuring out how much you'd have to pay on a monthly basis to just completely be done with it? Or what was the strategy?
Yeah, so I used this calculator. It's like a pay off your mortgage calculator. You put in the interest, how much you owe, and how much you want to pay additional. And yeah, so I'll play with the number. And then I would just get so, like, at first it was like, okay, I could do, I think I start out, I know some people can think I'm crazy, but I started out with, first I did a budget. So I looked at all the, you know, my budget, how much I was spending on gas, everything down to the T, everything. And I was like, I'm spending a lot on food, or I'm spending a lot on entertainment, or whatever the case may be, right? So I'm like, if I just don't do these extra things for a few years, I could throw that into the mortgage. So, and I was a registered nurse at the time, obviously. It wasn't from Medicare money or anything like that, okay? So,
right.
I want to be transparent. So, I was a registered nurse. I was doing well. I made about $10,000 a month. So, let's be honest, I did well. So, I would take about $800 a month and pay it towards my principal. And if I got a raise, I would just add that to it. And I started working extra. So I would work, you know, extra when I didn't have my kids, I would work extra. And all of that money, I would just dump it into the mortgage. It got to the point where I was so, like, I just wanted to complete this goal. And I was documenting it as well on YouTube. So I wanted to show that I could do it. And by putting it on YouTube, it gave me accountability.
Yeah.
So I knew I had to do it. So I would do more and more. Before you know it, I was doing like $2,000 extra every month. It was crazy. And it was automatic. So it would come out of my account automatically towards the principal. And before you know it, I was just knocking down the interest. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to take me about 6 to 7 years, but it took me 3. So.
And that's tremendous. That's tremendous on that. And so ultimately, right, you start selling. And I also know that, you know, along the way, you start selling health insurance too, start selling ACA. And, you know, you start, and I remember as time goes on, you know, you're trying different things. You know, we're working together to try to, you know, figure out the best strategies for you. You really start to figure it out, you know, in terms of like producing and kind of bringing your business forward. You buy an office. What was that experience like?
I think the reason why I was able to purchase the office, I was able to, you know, have marketing dollars, number one, was that mortgage. I got rid of the mortgage. So that helped me a lot. And also, I started travel nursing, which gave me more money. Since I didn't have the mortgage, I had so much money to save. It was insane. So I used that money to get the office. So it's like all these little things that I was doing helped with the building block of my business.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I was going to become a Medicare broker when I started the journey of paying off my mortgage. But just that little seed of saying I want to pay off my mortgage took me to the another seed, took me to the next idea. And that's how I progressed. I remember I was talking to you and we was talking about the office. I was like, should I buy an office? You think it makes sense? Because it's not like I had this great book of business at that point, you know?
Right, but right.
I just believe in myself. I believe in that I had to take it seriously at some point. Because when I was doing it part-time as a nurse, people would say, oh, I would love to meet you on a Monday. Oh, I can't. I don't want to say I have a full-time job. I'm available this Saturday or I'm available at 5 p.m. It becomes harder when you're building a business, but you're treating it more like a hobby.
Right, right.
So I knew at some point I had to break away from my cushion, my $10,000 a month as a nurse. At some point, I had to give that up if I really wanted to build my business. So that's how I was able to get the office.
Got it. Because
of nursing.
So talk a little bit about when you did make the transition from full-time nursing away from it. How was it? Was it scary?
It was very scary. I was terrified.
Yeah.
I purchased this office with all these issues. Mm. Thank God my friend stepped in to be like, I'll help you. We did everything. Like we painted the walls. We had to put in a new toilet, a new sink. It was crazy. But I was terrified. You know, I had enough money to get the office. But then, did I know what to do next? No, I had no clue what I was doing.
Yeah.
But like, let's do it, you know?
Yeah. And they don't make a manual for that kind of stuff. You know, there is no instruction step-by-step guide. It's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of kind of trial and error in figuring things out. And the office looks tremendous, by the way. I've had the pleasure of being there and, you know, and visiting. And, you know, it looks really, really good. And you've done a great job. And your friend did a great job in helping with it. And so it looks really good. Talk a little bit, because your agency is doing really well now. It's really cooking. You're doing very well. Your business is growing, and I love to see it. I'm just so excited for
what the next couple of years are going to look like for Patricia. I just think there's so much. I think the best is ahead. Talk a little bit about what do you feel like has been the biggest keys to your growth and you really making it as an agency, right? Because I feel like the hardest spots of starting as an agent is the first few years. You know, I think it is definitely the hardest because nobody knows who you are. You don't know anything. You have to learn so much. You have to learn how to get in front of people. You have to learn kind of what your niche is going to look like in terms of promotion and marketing. You have to learn product knowledge. You have to learn about the carriers. There's so much you have to learn. And so you're through that now. You know, your business has a great foundation now and it's growing and it's going to continue to grow. What do you feel like has been the success points? Like what has kind of caused that for you?
For me, I think it's me being a little bit of everywhere in a sense. Like I would say, let me try some Facebook ads or let me go out in the community. Let me put a table here and just doing all the little extra little bits help me, you know? Like I may get 6 calls from someone watching a YouTube video. I may get a few calls from someone watching a TikTok video. And this is crazy. I don't have a lot of views. It's not like I don't have that many views, really. My Life in Med channel, it's only about 3,000 subscribers. And I still get leads from that. Yeah. TikTok, I only have about 600 subscribers. Someone called me last night and was like, hey, I seen your video. I'm on your link right now. I'm trying to figure out how I do this application because I put in my marketplace link. So it's like all these little connections work.
Yes.
So what really grew my business was ACA, right? I want to sell Medicare. Of course I want to sell Medicare, but the market is such a smaller market. And I'm in Florida. Florida, mm-hmm. There's so many agents. It's ridiculous. So you have to figure out, okay, I want to break into the market, but what is the best strategy for my situation? So I said, under 65, there's a lot more in the pool. Mm-hmm. Turning 2 every day, turning 10, turning 50, right? So let's try under 65. So I started ACA and I just found myself going out in the community and I connected with other people that wanted to help me, which is crazy. I'm like, I didn't go searching for anyone. They came to me, hey, you doing Medicare? I mean, you're doing ACA? I have a business where I can actually help you get more ACA clients. So I'm just building like these connections with other companies, other businesses, and they're helping me. Like I get so many ACA referrals. It's crazy. And if I didn't put myself out there, if I was like, no, I just want to sell on the phone. No, these, you know, I just want to buy leads.
Yeah.
I just want to be in my office. I don't want to leave. Like, no, I had to put myself out in the community and try different things. Some things are going to work and some things are not going to work. So
yeah,
I'm taking my ACA business to help grow the Medicare business. I mean, I still have a decent Medicare book, but my ACA book is, it's crazy. So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense, you know, and I think they go very well hand in hand together. Took me too many years to realize that, I think. I figured it out more the last couple of years that they go very well together. But like before that, I'm sure you, as you remember, you know, I was like, oh, no, you know.
I was supposed to put my contract in here. You're like, I'm not doing ACA.
I'm like, God, no, you know, like. And that was a blind spot for me at that point in time, right? So, but I think they go very well hand in hand together, right? Because, you know, you have ACA clients that are going to age into Medicare. They're going to refer you people they know on Medicare. They're going, you know, you have, let's say you're writing somebody on Medicare and the spouse is 62. You know, you can write them too then. You know, like there's so many reasons why I think they go so well together and they kind of definitely can support each other. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, and you know you've executed and done incredibly well, you know, with that model. I want to be respectful of your time. There's 2 more questions I have for you.
talk a little bit about YouTube. You started the YouTube channel originally a long time ago, right? Like quite some time ago. Take us back to that, if you would. And what was the inspiration for starting it? Was it just, you know, I want to express myself, I want to talk about this and that, and, you know, but, or did you ever have a vision it would grow to what it is today? Talk about it a little bit.
No, back then, being on YouTube was kind of like, you're on YouTube, like, get a life.
Right.
But I was growing out my natural hair, and I was just like, I seen other naturals doing it, growing out their hair on YouTube. I was like, why not? You know, like I said, I'm a homebody, and I was like, I just turn on the camera and see if I could grow my hair out. Accountability. If I turn on the camera, I'm going to do it.
Yep, that's right.
So I cut all my hair off. Like, my hair was like this long, right? Back, well, it's called a TWA, teeny weeny afro. So I had my teeny little afro, and I would, hey, so I'm going to, you know, wash my hair today or whatever. And I would do like a challenge where every 3 months I would show my growth. I think it was every 3 months or every 6 months, I would show how long my hair had gotten. So I grew my hair really long, my natural hair, which this is my natural hair too, but it's in locks now. So I grew my loose natural hair really long to my waist. That was like a 6-year journey. So 6 years of me just making videos about my hair.
Yeah.
And then after that, I decided to lock it. And then I did the journey of paying off my mortgage. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. I mean, it shows versatility, right, on your channel, you know, because like your channel, I look at it like your channel is like what's going on with Patricia. You know, like what is going on in your life at that point in time? And that's probably one of the best types of channels you can have, because it can be anything. You know, it can pivot to anything, and your audience is not going to be that shocked, you know, because they're used to transition and they're used to different kind of things. If like I, one question I get a lot, and I'm sure you do too, is, and my YouTube channels are not nearly what yours are, you know, in terms of the followings or anything like that. But I get asked all the time from people that want to break out into YouTube, and they just, but they just don't know where to begin. Like sometimes people just have this fear of putting themselves out there, and it has to be perfect and everything like that. What advice would you give to somebody that's watching if they wanted to get into YouTube?
That's a good question. I say just do it. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people, they don't want to do YouTube because they feel like they're talking to the wall. They're talking.
Yeah.
But no, I feel like I'm talking to my audience when I'm talking. Like, I know I'm looking at the camera lens and everything, but I feel like, because I don't know. And it's so funny. I feel like my person, you can tell me this or not, but I feel like my personality is not the same person when I turn on the camera. I feel like I'm more bubbly and whatever, right?
Yeah,
I like that side of me. I like that side of me. Because when I'm at work, I'm so serious. I'm so like, we got to get this done. Like, we're here to make money. Like, yeah. When it comes to YouTube, I don't really care about like, you know, making money on. I just want to make connections, and I love it. And I love this silly part of me, and I can show that on YouTube. In the beginning, I had to tone it down because some people would get so upset. They're like, watch this video. You're too giddy. You're too all this stuff, right? So I toned myself down a little bit on camera. But I am a goofball, right? So I like showing that side of me. So I like to do it on camera. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I think YouTube allows you to express yourself, you know, in kind of the way that you want to express yourself. Maybe like you can't, or, you know, maybe it's an uncomfortable thing to try to do in regular life. Like for me, I can't film videos if there's other people in the office. I can't do it. I have to be like alone. And if I'm doing like an interview like this and I'm talking to somebody, it's fine. I can do it with people who are in the office. But like this room next to me, you know, and now is full of cubicles and full of, you know, our team members, our employees. So they're like literally right next to me. So if I'm in here and I film a video by myself, and I'm like, you know, because same with me, you know, I'm not the same person off camera as I am on camera. You know, I'm just trying to play it up a little bit for the camera at times. you know? And they're like right there. And I'm like, this is so awkward. I'm like, you know, I'm like, obviously I'm their employer. I'm their boss. You know, they, you know, if I want to, I can just be like, you know, they're never going to be, you know, they're never going to come to me and be like, you sound like shit. That's not going to happen. But my anxiety cannot let me do it. Now I can only do videos where I'm interviewing somebody or there's like a, you know, two, you know, person involved with me when people are here. But outside of that, like I need the office empty. That's why I come in on Saturdays and do it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I have to, like, I just can't, like, I've filmed videos in the office. I filmed this like video. I don't know if you saw it. I filmed this like movie parody, this movie scene parody a couple weeks ago about the summit. And everybody was in the office. And like, to make that right, like I needed somebody to film me from different angles. So there's one of my employees literally standing 2 feet from me and I'm like screaming in her face, you know, cause like I had to scream cause in the scene they're screaming in the movie scene and everyone in the office could hear me in every room. And I was like, I was so like mortified. I was like, it's for the greater good. I'm like, this is horrible. And yeah, I mean, so like if anybody feels that way and you want to get into YouTube, I guess where I'm going with that is, for me, it helped me a lot if I filmed videos alone. I felt more comfortable. You know, it felt like it was just me. If there's someone in the other room, even to this day, like I've made 1,500 YouTube videos. And even to this day, I can't do it in front of somebody else. I have a really hard time. I have a really hard time doing that.
You know what? You want to hear something funny?
Yes.
So I just hired a new person, right? He starts Monday. He's a guy, which I'm like, oh my gosh, how that's going to be? Because I don't know. I feel like guys should be the one more like, I don't know. Nobody, please don't call me sexist or anything. But I just find guys to be more of like the administrator role or the boss or whatever. So I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work. Is he's a guy?
Like operations or something like that. Yeah.
So I always wanted a female, but I'm like, you know what? Let me just try this person to see. And I'm going to train him to edit my videos. That is so cringe. I'm like cringing. I'm like, oh my gosh. I don't want him to see me filming, but I mean, I'm going to film at home probably. But him editing,
he's
probably thinking, this girl is.
It took me a little while to get over that too. Like I would be like, I've gotten more comfortable with that. And you will too, I'm sure. You know, like, so let's see. 2022, Celeste was editing my video. She was the first one that ever did it other than me. And I was just like, I would clean some of them up before I would even send them to her. Cause like there'd be a spot that would be so embarrassing. I'd be like, I don't want her to see this. And I would cut it out. So she'd be like, did you already edit this? I'm like, no, I just took out like the worst part. I didn't want you to see it. And she was like, you're silly. She's like, you're ridiculous. She's like, just send me the whole thing. Let me do this. You don't have to, you know, you shouldn't be spending your time on this. So like, she really had to like get after me to be like, stop editing the video before you send it to me. Like that's part of my job. Let me do it, you know? And so I got more comfortable with it as time went on. So like, I'm not as jittery about someone editing the videos at this point. It's not the same as if somebody's like hearing me record the video, you know, but if they watch it later, I'm like, that's okay. I've gotten through that. But I had that same thing early on. But like, you know, 2023, Emma edited them, and now Andrea's editing them. So like I've gone through a iteration of people that have edited my videos and I've gotten more comfortable with it. And now it's, and I think that's probably what will happen with you too. It'll be like, after you do it for a few months, you're like, oh, no biggie. You know, I picked my nose, who cares, you know, or something. Not that that happens on videos. It doesn't happen on videos, but you get the point.
Next question. You say, yeah, one more question.
Yes. So one more question. So where can people connect with Patricia? What is the best way? And obviously, you know, you do coachings, you do a lot of things to work with people that are trying to, you know, get started and kind of grow their business. Where can people find you?
On YouTube.
YouTube's the best place. As I mentioned, yeah. we're going to drop the link to Patricia's channel in the description of this video, guys. So check it out, go follow, go subscribe, watch the video. She does a great job. Her content is super good. I watch it as much as I can, as much as I have time for. I try to pay attention. So yeah, go check out Patricia. Thank you for doing this, by the way. This was fun as always.
very informative, super valuable. And I think the audience will get a lot out of it.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime, as you know. All right, guys. Thanks so much for watching all the way to the end. If you made it all the way to the end, you are the real MVP in this video. You know the drill. If you like this video, the only way I'm going to know about it is like, comment, subscribe. The better this video performs, that way we'll do videos more like it in the future. And we'll see you guys next time with another episode of the 7 Figures or Bust podcast. Thanks, everybody.